Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Al, what people may not know about Mike Sielski, the incredible columnist.
Yes.
He is also an amateur gumshoe.
What?
Right? He is an amateur detective.
Yes.
And he, for the last 24 hours, has been seeking a missing person. That person is Golden Tate. On the line with us from Philly.com is the great Mike Sielski. Hi, Michael.
Before we start talking about the Eagles, Angelo, I just want to acknowledge Jonesy's terrific Hogan's Hero reference there. You can't let that pass. The Sergeant Schultz reference was excellent.
It's not often that you will go all the way back to Hogan's Heroes.
My God, I love that show as a kid. Colonel Clink.
Mike, you dealt with a very significant part of last night's game. What the hell happened to Golden Tate? Can you give us some sense for why they did not use this weapon way more?
No, and I don't know why. And, you know, I'm getting a lot of pushback from Eagles fans this morning saying, well, the guy's only here, you know, he's only been here a week and a little bit more, and this is his first game. That doesn't wash. Mm-hmm. The Eagles made this trade with only eight games left in the season.
Thank you.
And they weren't 7-1 when they made the trade and cruising into the playoffs the way they were last year when they got Jay Ajayi. They made this trade and set up a standard to say, okay, this guy can come in right away and contribute. And whether it was him, whether it was Doug Peterson, whether it was Mike Groh, that was not good enough last night. You know, Golden Tate is a really good player. And aside from the lateral in the second quarter there that gained, you know, 6 yards or whatever it was after Zach Ertz caught the ball, they did very little to assimilate him into the offense, and it hurt them.
Hey, Mike, let's go to a critical play in the final drive where the Eagles are trying to tie the game again for the third time because the defense can't stop anybody. And it's 3rd and 2, all right? And I want you to consider the options that they have to call on this play. Jeffrey, who's been terrific. Ertz, who's been phenomenal, right? Goddard, who they didn't even throw the ball to. Aguilar, who made the big play downfield, right? Even Jordan Matthews was making big plays. And, of course, Golden Tate, the guy since 2010 who's had the most yards after catch in the National Football League. Here's what they went to.
This is probably the most important third down of the season for the Eagles so far. Wentz in the gun. He's back. He looks. He swings it out to Clement. Clement gets around and is tripped up. He is tripped up.
Mike, does it occur to you that maybe they could have called Tate's play a number there since he's great after he catches the ball?
Well, he's great on third down, too.
And yeah.
That's the reason you got him.
Yes!
You know, it's funny. I was talking about this last night with my colleague Jeff McClain, and we said the same thing and agreed completely. You know, you have Carson Wentz, who is supposed to be a top five, you know, certainly a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. You went out and tried to augment and help him by getting Tate at the trade deadline. Let Carson be Carson. You know, they are scheming, it seems to me, you know, around him or with him too much. Why are you asking a guy who's supposed to be an elite quarterback to swing the ball out to any running back? I don't care if it's Emmitt Smith or Jim Brown or whoever is out there. You know, Carson's supposed to be the centerpiece of the offense. Let him be the centerpiece of the offense. Throw the ball down the field some more. You know, they're relying on these short passes early in games. They're not working. I get that the screen game is a part of the offense, but at some level, you just have to let, you know, guys who are supposed to be great players be great players.
Well, you tackled the right thing. A lot of fans are wondering about Golden Tate. I want to move you over to the other side of the ball, Mike, because there it's even more bizarre. Can you explain the performance of the defense in the second half against the 27th ranked offense? What happened to the defense?
I mean, look, it'll be easy to point to the personnel and the people they're missing, but they missed people last year too.
Yeah.
And they were able to work around it. You know, their cornerbacks just aren't very good. You know, the pass rush isn't getting there quite as often as it did last year. I mean, that's the league now. The league is, if you can get to an opposing quarterback within 2 seconds or make them hold the ball for more than 2 seconds, it can disrupt an entire offense. And they weren't able to do that. How many times did they come just that close to getting Dak Prescott, and he was able to get the ball off either down the field or to Ezekiel Elliott. It's a bad situation, and the frustrating thing, I think, if you're a fan, is that you don't see any adjusting, any changing. You know, Jim Schwartz seems unable or unwilling at this point to really kind of be creative enough to make a change that would seem to snap them out of it. And of course, all of this presumes that they could snap out of it. You know, as Jonesy said, I think, and Rhea said, I think you're looking at a team that is just a mediocre to below average team.
All right, let's talk about why that is, Mike, because a lot of these guys are on the team last year and they won the Super Bowl. Is it attitudinal?
Is it attitudinal? I think there's some human nature at play. I do. I think when you go through and win a Super Bowl, you know, it's that much harder to come back and do it a second time or even approximate that level of excellence. The same thing happened to the New England Patriots back in 2002. You know, when they won their first Super Bowl, it was a huge upset and nobody expected it, you know, similar to what the Eagles did last year. And then they came back and slogged through a 9-7 season and weren't very good and had a long losing streak in the middle of the year. And then they got back to being who they were supposed to be. So at some level, maybe this is a natural function of what happened last year, of the hangover of winning a championship. But at another level, they're just not playing as well. You know, I think they miss Frank Reich and John DeFilippo. I think teams have been studying up on them. They become the lodestar, the North Star for every other team in the league. What are the Eagles doing, and how do we replicate it, and how do we stop them from doing it? And I think, you know, it's a combination of a lot of factors that have led this.
All right, but has it made you start to question whether last year was, like, really lucky and maybe Doug Peterson is not the mastermind coach we thought he was?
Yeah, a little bit, in that, you know, this is a second year now. We have more evidence of them being this kind of team than we do of the tremendous Super Bowl championship team, because this is kind of what they were, you know, in 2016. You know, they were kind of sort of in every game, but unable to win the close ones. You know, this game was similar to a game that they lost in 2016 in Dallas. If you remember, they blew
swing
a 10
pass
point
to
fourth
Darren
quarter.
Sproles.
Yep. You got it. They love Doug loves those swing passes.
They're
big
awful
Sunday night games against the Cowboys. You know, so we'll see. I mean, look at it this way, Angela. They've lost three games in a row at home. One of which they blew a 17-point fourth quarter lead. You know, I don't necessarily want to revisit a discussion we had last year, but I'm wondering about that home field advantage all of a sudden.
Yeah, sure. One last one, Mike, because whether you're aware of it or not, the Philadelphia fan base is once again under assault today. It started during the game last night after the defense had collapsed at the end of the first half, and the Cowboys came right down and scored, made it 13-3 at the half. They're going off the field, and here was the reaction of the fan.
Could be the last play of the half as Wentz swings it out on the far side of the field. And running with the football across the 40 and leaning forward as Smallwood up at the 49-yard line as there are nothing but zeros on the clock. And the crowd that was cheering wildly for the Eagles at the start of this game now is offering that low, hollow sound.
Yeah, Peter King in Football Morning in America, Mike, has given the Eagle fans the goat of the week, and he said that it hasn't been the season you'd want in Philly, and you're losing to the Cowboys, but booing the crap out of the team that delivered a stirring Super Bowl win 9 months ago is totally Bush League. Do you agree with that?
The academic and egghead way to say it would be that Peter's statement there reflects a fundamental misunderstanding of the Philadelphia fan base. Basically, he doesn't get it. I mean, you know, I mean, winning a Super Bowl was never going to lower the standards of Philadelphia Eagles fans. If anything, it was always going to ratchet the pressure up on the team higher to repeat, you know, to do the same thing again. And if he thinks that Philadelphia fans weren't or shouldn't have been booing in that situation last night, I don't know what games he's been watching and what fans he's been, you know, exposed to over his years covering the NFL and the Eagles.
Right, let me just say, Mike, I've had a lot of opportunities to talk to you over the past few years. That's my favorite answer you ever gave to any question I gave. That was brilliantly stated. Mike, thank you.
Thanks, Angela. Appreciate it.
That kid is such a good talker, Al. He's so eloquent. Did he not put that? Yeah, we won the Super Bowl, so we're going to lower our standards now. So you're not appalled that we booed a poor performance. That is not ever going to happen in the city of Philadelphia.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com?
We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.